Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us and starting your weekend with us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Malvina.
That would be a little weird. Fancy.
Yeah, very fancy, yes. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it's what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. So if you're going to host a cookout, or if you're just cooking for your family, steaks, burgers, that's what everybody really wants to eat. You know, don't make it too fancy. Don't overthink the equation there. Just put a steak on the grill and make everybody happier for it. If you don't want to cook this weekend, hey, I can give you a dozen great places around the state where you can go get a steak. And my guess is if you live in Mississippi, you live near a fantastic steakhouse. So go check one of those out this weekend. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that I know you are looking for. All of the new logos right there at College Corner. Great name brands, great fitting items, great looking items. Everything you need, maroon and white, under one roof. It's at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area. They're in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town will always be at Restaurant Tyler. If you want to enjoy a fantastic Sunday brunch this weekend, head over to Restaurant Tyler. If you're a breakfasty kind of brunch person, they've got great stuff on the menu. But if you're a lunchy kind of brunch person, they got great stuff on the menu. Whatever side of the brunch aisle you are on, you know, we have a lot of division in this country right now, but a Restaurant Tyler Sunday brunch can bring us all together. Enjoy a great meal every single time at Starkville's best restaurant, Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but show you how they're going to help you plan for your future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you can't afford to wait around on somebody else's schedule. You need answers right then and there. You need a bank that knows you as well as they know your money. That's what you're going to get when you deal with Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Happy Friday, Robbie. Robert.
Thank God.
Rigoberto.
It's about time.
Yeah. It is. It's been a weird week, but I'm glad we've made our way through it. We're going to talk some baseball in just a minute. Mississippi State, Alabama, big series for the Diamond Dogs. We've got a spring preview. It's the Ole Miss Rebels. You know, we'll stomach it. But we will start with basketball. I had to play the song, Robbie.
Okay.
Song has to be played.
I was a little confused.
No. Yeah, Robbie was like, why did he
caught me off guard there.
No. We're all good. Quincy Ballard, who, by the way, can you see this guy's face? Are you in a place where you can see it?
I mean, I've seen it.
He looks like he's 48 years old.
He does look like
a grown man there. A double-double machine these past couple of years for the Wichita State Shockers. 8 double-doubles this past year, averaged right at 10 points and 9 rebounds per game. Also, over his last two seasons, has averaged 2 block shots per game. Fills the need that State kind of lacked a season ago. They didn't have a true rim protector in there. I feel like both basketball teams I'm a fan of have had that issue this year. State and the Lakers. Neither one have a rim protector in there. This is a guy who gives you some really old school offense. This is a 71% shooter in his college career. Now, it doesn't take a ton of shots, only six shots a game, but more or less when he turns his back to the basket or when he receives the ball, if he's going up, it's going in. So that's good news for Mississippi State that missed way too many shots over the past couple of years. This is more of a Jan style big man, I think, than others would be. And obviously, the best case scenario is for Keyshawn Murphy to come back and pair these guys together. But if Keyshawn doesn't return, this is at least a guy you can put in there as your starting five and go from there.
Yeah, and by the way, I think you said this the other day. Whenever we need Mississippi State to have something happen, we just talk
Right.
about it on the show.
Yeah.
Yesterday, we talked about Mississippi State desperately needed some good news, and here we go. I mean,
Hey, guys, we're all going to go to the casino and get lucky this weekend. Let's go. We're talking about it here on the show.
again, like I said, I really wish Mississippi State would just win the national championship in football.
Yeah. Well, we got
Soon
to
after.
wait on that. We can't get instant results on that one.
That's true. But yeah, Quincy Ballard is, to me, an upgrade at the center position over Michael Nwokwu just because he could
Agreed.
do so much more.
Yeah.
And also is going to give you more minutes than Nwokwu. Nwokwu is a guy that could give you spurts. He gave you a good first 10 minutes of the game, and then he kind
Yeah.
of disappeared. This is a guy that last year averaged 28 minutes a game at Wichita State. He started in every game during his last two seasons at Wichita. And when he gets the ball in the low post, he's going to score more often than not. I mean, 75%, that's about as good as it gets on this level. So, I mean, 73% shooter in his entire career. He shot over 70% every single year of his career, except for the season that he was hurt at
Yeah.
Wichita State. So this is a great get, a guy that has steadily gotten better every single year, and I think that he can really flourish under Chris Jans. Jans has had really efficient center production since he's been here. Tolu Smith, I know he kind of had some ups and downs that second year, but he was still second team All SEC. So he got one really, really good season from Tolu and another good season from Tolu. And I thought when Nwokwu was in the game last year, was very efficient. Keyshawn Murphy, when he played the five, very efficient. So the center position has been good for Mississippi State since Chris Jans has been here. And I think this is the best center from a skill set body wise that he's had since he's been here. 6'11, 250. He's not a stick. You know, he's got some muscle on him, he's got some agility to him. He's kind of a center that you can get out in space and run with too. At 6'11, when he's coming downhill, you're getting out of the way. I mean, that's a freight train. So he can really defend, he can really rebound, and he can score inside. This is not a guy that's ever going to be a shooter. He hasn't attempted a single three in his
I'm about
entire
to say
career.
he has something in common with Tolu Smith. Has never
Yeah,
attempted a 3-point shot in 5 years of college basketball.
he's pretty much going to be camped out on the on the block and in the paint. That's going to be Quincy Ballard, which kind of brings me to my next point about the four position. And obviously you want Keyshawn Murphy to return. If Keyshawn Murphy doesn't return, do you not go get a stretch four that can stretch the floor a little bit and
You're
shoot
exactly
it?
right. You're exactly correct. If Murphy makes a decision not to return, you should reevaluate because your plan right now is Murphy comes back and maybe you're not a great 3-point shooting team, but you are a very efficient offensive team. You make your twos and you're going to be better defensively.
Any rebound.
And you rebound. If Murphy doesn't come back, yeah, I would push my focus towards a four who can stretch the floor, give you some spacing, and give you some more 3-point shooting. I still agree with what you said the other day. That the focus really should be plus defenders, and then when you figure out the shooting from there, you cannot allow another season like this. You can't suffer through that. State fans have made their voices clear. They would rather suffer through a season like Jans had the first 2 years than
Yeah.
last year. They would rather lose games 64-62 than 85-82. They would just rather do that. And I can't disagree with them. So yeah, I think that's a smart call by you that you absolutely should change your focus if you cannot get Murphy back in the fold. If you get him back in the fold, then you just do the best you can at the wing and the point guard for shooting. But again, the name that people keep throwing out, and I don't know that he's necessarily connected with Mississippi State, is the Conroy kid from Troy, not a plus 3-point shooter as well. So if that's a guy that you feel like he gives you everything but 3-point shooting, and then you just go out there and you have Hubbard and you have your three as your best 3-point shooters, you have McGee coming off the bench. Well, maybe you're just not a team that shoots a lot of threes next year. Maybe you're just a team that tries to be efficient on offense and win games defensively and go from there.
I think a lot of people are hung up on the 3-point shooting.
Agreed.
It's because State has not did not shoot the three well. What you're looking for is somebody that can score. If you can score from 18 feet out, 15 feet out, if you can get to the rim, that to me supplements what you need offensively. I don't think that Mississippi State has to be a great 3-point shooting team
Agreed.
or even a really good 3-point shooting team to be competitive next year.
Yeah.
What I do think they have to have is much better defensive efficiency. Their defensive efficiency this past year was terrible. Their 3-point percentage defense was terrible. They have got to be
And they
able
weren't
to.
a great 3-point shooting team. So it's
No.
like they scored plenty of points without being a tremendous 3-point shooting team. If they had been better defensively, they aren't an 8 seed. They're a 4 seed. And who knows what happens from there.
Well, and what you got here with Ballard, and if you have Keyshawn, is you're probably going to be a good rebounding team. So there's going to be situations where you're missing shots where these guys can clean them up, or you can have better production around the rim with these players. But State's got to be a team that is more efficient as a whole offensively. I'm not just looking at 3-point shooting. I'm kind of over that. I'm kind of over just like the first thing I look at whenever Mississippi State's going after guys, the
Totally
fact that
agreed.
they're three.
If I see a great shooting if the 2-point percentage is really good and the 3-point percentage is not that great, all that tells me that guy makes all his twos. So yeah, I can live with that. I understand that the basketball has evolved. I understand what a weapon the 3-point shot is. I absolutely get it, especially in the NBA. But in college basketball, if you're a good 2-point shooting team and you can just make a few threes again. And the other thing to remember about this when we talk about 3-point shooting is that you still have Hubbard. Hubbard's going to make his threes. And if you can get one more guy to pair with him, that's plenty. That's going to be plenty. McGee is another guy. You can put McGee and Hubbard on the floor at the same time with a three who can shoot threes, and you've got plenty of offensive firepower there.
And last year I think the biggest issue was you had too many guys that was kind of their game is just settling for threes. And there wasn't enough players that could just go get a bucket, could just go get to the rim and
Yes.
that's kind of I think that the offense at that point would probably just need to evolve into more of a motion type offense where you're setting screens and you're cutting to the rim, backdoor cuts, things like that. Maybe you have to move away from spacing the floor with your guards and everybody just kind of standing around waiting to shoot a three. You have to. And Chris Jans has shown the ability to kind of evolve with whatever players he has. But no matter who he gets, this team has got to be a better defensive team. So you have to go after guys that I think are dogs that are
Yeah.
going to get up in your grill and are going to defend and are going to get after the basketball and they're going to get to the rim when the ball's up. And that's kind of the biggest thing in the offseason for me is finding players that defend and rebound. And you got guys that do that. If they can score in some form or fashion, then I'm good. Now, if you're going to get guys that are averaging 3 or 4 points a game and all they are defensive players,
That's an issue.
that's a little bit of a problem. You got to find a little bit of a compromise there. But I'm not sitting here going like we have to have some 40% 3-point shooters.
Are you saying that it's all about that balance?
It is all about that
All right,
balance.
all right. Yes, good.
But yeah, it's like I've State has gone after players that I would consider were like sharp shooting guards since Chris
Well,
Jans has been here that did
that's what
absolutely
Taylor
nothing.
was supposed to be, and that's what Eric Reed was supposed to be, and that's what Claudell Harris was supposed to be. And maybe it's just the rims at the hump, but it doesn't work out for any of them.
So it's just like that's defense travels, as they say. If you can defend anywhere. And that's what I'm looking for in this case. And I, on top of that, I want the balance of they're able to do some things offensively, but defense to me is the most important thing in this transfer portal.
I think it's the most. I think it's kind of obvious with what we're seeing with Jans at this point that he's just not gonna. He's just like, if I lose it, I'm gonna lose the way I lost the first. I'm not doing this again. I will not do it again. So I agree. I think that's the better path for him. All right. Let's switch gears totally and switch over to baseball. Mississippi State traveling to Alabama this weekend. It's a really good Alabama team. They did drop a series last weekend to Auburn, who was also a really good baseball team. But they got it, came back, bounced back. They were down 4-0 to Southern Miss on Tuesday night. Came back and won that game 8-4. If you look at the numbers for State, and you were going to say, you said you think 13 would be enough. All right, so they need 10 more wins. That means you can lose a series. You can't get swept, but you can lose a series and still be okay in terms of that. But you can't get swept. So is it just enough for you this weekend for State to get one?
I think they need to win this weekend. And the reason I say that is because they need to have some positive momentum.
Okay.
And also, they've got to, at some point, they've got to beat a team with a pulse in these series. They haven't beaten anybody that's any good. You know, they got the one win against Oklahoma, and that's it at this point. I mean, the only series they won was against South Carolina. They've won a midweek game against Southern Miss, but they also lost a midweek game against Southern. They have no real good wins. I think they have one quad one win at this point. Now, you win this series, and that'll be,
that's correct.
That'll be three. So that's, to me, this is a must win series because you want to continue to make up ground. You want to finally get a good win and a good series win because you don't have those in non-conference or conference.
Right.
And you win the series, you're 5-10. That looks a lot better.
Oh yeah.
Than 4-11. That looks like one extra game. That looks a lot better.
It's funny how different it is with just one game. Like State's 3-9, and we're talking about how they're still kind of in it. And if they were 2-10, I'd be telling you they're out.
It's over.
They're done.
The way that I've kind of broke it down, I think they can lose. I think they could lose two series. They don't need to get swept, but I think they can lose two series and they need to sweep one, and that can get them where they want to be. And if I'm doing the math correctly, it's either 14 or 15 wins. And at that point, you're safely in.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's kind of what you're looking at. It's not like dire need right now, but they do need to win. But it's, you know, if they lose a series or two, it's not the end of the world. But they really don't need to do that. But that, I mean, it's hard to.
I can't
hard to
picture
really
them winning match. The next six series. I can't picture.
No.
They're going to drop one. And this is, I mean, it's a top 15 opponent on the road. I mean, they're not going to be favored to win it. You're completely correct. Obviously, 5-10 is much better than 4-11. But if they're 4-11, then they need to be what, 9-6 the rest of the way. At that point, you know, it becomes, you can't really drop another. You could drop one more series, I think, at that point, just mathematically. But I also agree with your point there that you finally won a series. You know, stack a couple up. Give yourself a little breathing room, you know. If you win this series, next week you're playing a Florida team that at best is going to be 4-11 when they show up. And if they drop a game to Missouri, their season's basically over at that point. You might catch them on you know, trying to just get out of Starkville as fast as they can. You got a chance to stack some momentum if you can do, you know, if you something that you're you know, you're not expecting. You think State, they haven't released the rotation as of yet. You think State just sticks with Khan, Sierry, and Ligon?
I imagine, you know, that it was good enough last week.
Yeah.
If there was one guy that I could see entering the rotation, it would be Ryan McPherson.
Yeah.
And I think he threw too many pitches the other night. So
yeah, he had some action there at UAB.
Yeah, so that, you know, I think that Evan Sierry has been good like the first time or two to the order.
Mm-hmm.
He'll come out and he'll throw strikes. You know, this is a team that in Alabama, they can hit the long ball, so he's got to keep it low.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a propensity to giving up home runs. It's a very interesting Alabama team. Their starting rotation is talented, They have not been great in SEC play. Since they've gone into SEC play, things have kind of evened out for them, and they were so good in non-conference play. I think they only had like one loss before they got into SEC. And since they've seen some better hitting, their numbers are starting to fall a little bit, but it's still a talented rotation. Riley Quick's in there. And
we were talking about him in the press box. I remember when State recruited him for football.
Yeah. Zane Adams is going to be their Friday night guy. He's a lefty that's got a four-pitch mix. You know, he's got some good stuff. He's had some good moments this year. Riley Quick, obviously, he's going to be their Saturday guy, is probably easily their most talented pitcher. He's a mid to high 90s. He's going to throw with some sink. It's kind of tough to square him up. But all these guys have had instances in SEC play where they have not been able to go deep into ball games.
Yeah.
Zane Adams pitched, I think, one inning against Auburn last week. Their Sunday starter, Bobby Alok, I think is how you say his name, he lasted like an out, I think, last week.
Yeah, so Auburn got out to a quick start on them, yeah.
They have a shutdown closer. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I think State needs to get off to good starts, get into the bullpen, and they really need to build leads here because this is a team that's been very good late in ball games. They have four or five guys in the lineup that are really difficult to get through. Justin LeBron is obviously their big threat at the plate, but they have three or four other guys that are really good and really tough to get out. So it's a Alabama team that they're 7-5 right now, but they're top 15, and they have a lot of confidence. They have a really good coach. This isn't the Alabama team that State grew accustomed to sweeping or being on the verge of sweeping most years. This is going to be a tough series.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's why I think, you know, State will be doing really well to get one. Are we saying it's done? No chance for the postseason if they get swept. They're 3-12. Feels like it.
I mean, I wouldn't say no chance, but at that point, I don't think there's any.
Yeah.
There's no way that you can feel good about Mississippi State at that point.
You have to be 10-5 in five remaining series, so you can't lose.
And I don't even. I don't. I mean, I'm coming away from a series loss saying that I have doubts this team's going to make the postseason. I don't think that's acceptable either. I think they at this point when you're sitting here at 3-9. I think that you really desperately need to win this series.
Yeah.
Because you win the series and then you go into the Florida weekend against a team that's been kind of disheveled and struggling. All of a sudden, you feel like there's a good chance you could potentially get to 8-10.
Yeah.
All of a sudden. And at that point, you're starting to say, okay, this team might get back on track here.
Yeah.
So it's truly a 1 week at a time thing at this point. When you dig yourself in a hole, you have to kind of slowly crawl back in it.
Yeah.
And that's Mississippi State right now. They need to go to Alabama, play really good baseball, and find a way to get two wins. Anyway.
But you're gonna pull a Pacino there. 1 inch at a time.
I mean, it works.
Yeah. That's going to make – never mind. All right, let's move into the last part of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. I'm going to go to Two Brothers for lunch here on a Friday. Well, me and Aisle are going to go get some lunch. I got to go get some wings, man. I got to go do that. Now, yes. If you're Catholic and you're listening, I don't want to hear any judgment. I'm just going to go get some wings. It'll be all right. And you should go too, you know. Maybe on a day where you don't consider it a sin. That's fine. But it's up for you. It's up to you. Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother, two of my favorite restaurants in town, two of Robbie's favorite places in town. When we have out-of-town folks coming in, they're talking to us about, hey, where should we go eat? We are always going to give them that suggestion. Go to Two Brothers. Go to the Older Brother. Have a great meal. Have some smoked Southern soul food at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products, great service. Every business wants to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
50. Brother.
A little delayed brother. I like that.
When you make sure you're listening.
I was listening. When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if you need service, it's the same number, the same good folks who've already made you the sale. You know them. You don't have to worry about it. They're going to take care of you from start to finish. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Next time you're here in Starkville, if you need to grab some MSU gear, the place to go is Maroon & Co. They have the biggest and best selection. Think of all the places here in Starkville that sell Mississippi State gear. Nobody is beating Maroon & Co. just for the quality and variety of stuff that you can buy. Not just clothes, stuff for the house, the car, your tailgate, whatever it is, Mississippi State, they've got it at Maroon & Co. And they have our promo code that saves you some money. Thunder 15, 15% off regular price items. Some exclusions do apply. Next time you're in Starkville, make sure you make a trip to Maroon & Co. Before we do this preview real quick, Robbie, your guy Pete Nakos just tweeted this. I don't know if you saw it or not. Tennessee and Nico Emeagwali are in active contract negotiations ahead of the 2025 season. It is unclear if the negotiations will impact whether he enters the spring transfer portal.
That is
a brutal thing to read if you're a Tennessee fan.
I mean, what is going on? I mean, what are we doing?
Whew, that's tough.
At this point, just let's figure it out and let's make these kids employees.
Yeah.
And this is the NFL. This is the NFL model.
You can't just leave every year in the NFL. You have contracts.
That's true.
You know, you can't.
But that's what I'm saying. Like that. Like,
yeah, we gotta have the NFL model. Is what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you can't, you have these kids now that are like holding out at the last second, I need more money, and coming back and trying to renegotiate. The contracts they currently have are non-binding. They don't mean anything really. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is going on? Who's in charge?
Nobody's in charge, Robbie. Nobody's in charge.
Nobody's in charge. We're going to politicians to try to make decisions. They have no clue what to do. I don't understand.
Reagan said it best. The scariest thing you can ever hear is, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right, let's get into our spring preview. The Ole Miss Rebels. You know them, you don't love them. I talked earlier this week to Michael Katz, covers the Rebels for the Daily Journal up there in Tupelo in North Mississippi, to get his thoughts on Ole Miss and how they're going to look to improve upon what was a great season in some aspects and a disappointing season in some others. Another spring preview to do, and it is the Ole Miss Rebels' time to be on the podcast. Michael Katz from the Daily Journal up there talking to us. I'm going to have to just ignore the blanket. We've already discussed it, but it's tough. I want you to know I'm struggling. I just want you to know that.
The blanket always stays.
Okay.
Those are
parents. All right, then. We all know what Ole Miss was and wasn't last season. You know, they were a team that coming into the season, it was very much a playoff or bust atmosphere up there. It ended up not working out. At the same time, I don't feel like they underachieved. I don't know how to make that make sense, but that was a really good football team. And there were some times where you were like, man, they may be as good as anybody in the country. And had they gotten into the playoff, I was pretty sure they would have advanced at least two rounds. Where is this Ole Miss team right now? Because they've won almost 40 games in the last 4 years. I think at this point, I'm just prepared to accept that they're a consistent winner. How good are they going to be 2025?
It's funny you brought up how good that Ole Miss team was, despite it maybe not reaching where it wanted. They finished like second or third nationally in scoring and second in scoring defense. I mean, that's pretty insane for a team that didn't make the playoff. Again, combined three losses by less than 14 points total. They just caught some tough breaks when, you know, the year before they were really lucky in situations like that. Last year, they did not get those bounces that they needed. And, you know, in a year where I think they were expecting to really make the breakthrough, they came up just short. I think that this year, when I walked into our first spring practice a few weeks ago, the first thing I said was like, who are these people? I don't recognize anybody.
Yeah.
I was like, where's Jackson Dart? I've seen him warming up for 3 years. Like, where's Trey Harris? Where's Jordan Watkins? Where are all of these guys that we've gotten to know and were just like the mainstays of this program? I know that, you know, Jackson wasn't a high school recruit here, but, you know, he was here long enough that it almost seemed like he was. Yeah. I mean, it seemed like he was a guy that was all Ole Miss always. It's just been odd looking around and seeing all of the new pieces. And I mean, they're talented. There's no question. Austin Simmons can throw the hell out of a football. There's no question. You know, he was forced into action last year against Georgia, on that, or in the first quarter when Jackson rolled up his ankle or whatever it was, and he led a touchdown drive and did not look shocked or anything like that. So I think they're in good hands there. But you know, when you lose a 3-year starting quarterback and in an offense where the quarterback is so important in terms of reads and making the right RPO calls and throwing, you know, making good decisions throwing the ball, it's hard to expect the guy to step in and just do that as a guy who's never started a game. And the receivers, I mean, they're losing 2,500 yards-ish worth of wide receiver talent. Their running game was a mess last year, and you know, they lose their leading rusher, and Jackson was their second leading rusher. And then you look at the defensive line, they led the nation in sacks per game, led the nation in tackles for loss, and you're losing four likely high draft picks from that defensive line, you know, highlighted by Walter Nolan and Princely Amon-Miellen. You know, I look around this team and I see, you know, they've replaced it well through the portal, of course, and they've recruited pretty well in high school recently. That's really been a focus, especially on the D line. But man, it's hard to, when they came up short last year and you lose all of those pieces, it's just hard, at least like right now, to look at that team and say that's a top six team like they were last year. And it's not like they might end up being better than last year, who knows? But I just think with when you've only got, you know, five, six, seven returning starters, whatever it is, I think it's hard to sort of put that on them. And you know, like you said, you know, this is a consistent program now. They're going to win games. But I you know, the expectations, I think, have probably rightfully been lowered a little bit, at least for now.
Austin Simmons, you mentioned, you know, the appetizer that we got from him, just that little one course, but man, he looks so composed. What do you want to see from him this spring? What's the thing that Austin Simmons needs to have to be an effective quarterback in the SEC?
I mean, his arm talent is, we know what that is. You know, he's a left-hander. It's clean. You know, he was a reliever for baseball. He was throwing 94 as a freshman for Mike Bianco. I mean, this is a guy who is extremely talented and can do everything. Really smart kid. I think the biggest thing for us, and it's kind of hard to gauge that from a media perspective, is like, how does he make this team his? Because it's a part of what made Jackson such a good player and teammate was he really owned that team and everybody followed him and he was the heart and soul. He was one of the toughest guys on the team. Players respected the heck out of Jackson. That's really hard to just assume that the next quarterback can just pick that up. So I think he's doing all the right things. I mean, again, the physical skills are there. Is he going to probably make some mistakes? Of course, he's a young quarterback, but you know, he's smart. He graduated high school a year early or 2 years early, whatever it was, and rolled at Ole Miss. And he's been in the system for a while now. But I really think how he takes over the locker room is going to be fascinating to watch because you know, it took Jackson a little bit. And obviously, Jackson was in quarterback competitions his first couple of years. Austin Simmons, this is his job. There's no question. Lane Kiffin is not even pretending. This is QB1. So we know it's his job. How does he take over the team? In you know, you don't need him to be Jackson. Lane Kiffin doesn't want him to be Jackson. He's got to be his own guy. But I think he has to control the team the way Jackson did for this team to go where it can go.
Ole Miss planning to play its best running back this year, or is that still an issue up there?
Man, you see every message board and every tweet. It's still coming up on every YouTube comment under a Lane Kiffin press conference is why didn't you play Bentley against Florida? It's a fair question.
It's a legitimate question.
Yeah, that
Who
running
do they got
back.
in the backfield, I guess, will be our question here. Because I know Logan Diggs is still, I'm not sure how fully healthy he is. What's the deal there?
He sounds like he's good to go now. You know, we saw him a little bit in the Gator Bowl. That was the only game he played last year. He was recovering from that knee injury that he had at LSU. I think they're expecting pretty. He's going to have to play a big part in this. You know, but they did also pick up Kwon Lacy from Missouri, who was a big prospect coming out in the 24 class. Almost came to Ole Miss originally. Obviously, he's there now, and he didn't get a ton of carries. when he was with the Tigers, but I think he's a talented guy that they're counting on. I think that last year when Henry Parrish went down against Arkansas, the running game just sort of fell apart and they were manufacturing things. I mean, there was one game where, they had a receiver playing running back. I think it was against Florida when Micah Davis was running back, and everyone was like, "What is going on here?" And maybe we never got to the final answer on what was going on with Ulysses Bentley, but he's not there anymore, so we can't ask that question anymore, despite what commenters will still try to do. But I think the running back room's actually in a decent spot because you also bring in Shekhai Mills-Knight, who's a was a big he's a big time recruit as well. He's a four-star kid, really big, strong back, and it's hard to expect things from a true freshman, but it's not like it's unprecedented. Quinshon Judkins ran for 1,500 yards as a true freshman a couple years ago, so Lane Kiffin knows how to make it happen. But I think the running back room is in a good spot. It's just it's different. It's there's a lot of different. I think that's kind of the theme this year.
Which of these two units, both of whom were really good last year, do you see like the most, maybe the most problems playing at this level this year? And that's receiver or the secondary. There's just so many new faces there. Which group are you more concerned about?
Secondary, really, for sure, and I think Lane has made that clear that that's probably the question mark. Even last year when that defense was really, really good, their pass defense wasn't like extraordinary. They were really successful because they got after the passer and they were able to force quarterbacks into making rush decisions, and things worked out that way for them. But they were kind of middle of the pack pass defense, and you're losing a lot of those guys. You're losing a lockdown corner like Trey Amos, who he might go first round later this month. You go top 2 rounds, you have to imagine for sure. He was a really good player. I don't know if we know if they have a guy like that. I think they hope they do with Braxton from Arkansas, but you don't know yet. So I think with the receivers they brought in, yes, it's hard to expect someone to be Trey Harris and Watkins and guys like that. But you brought in guys like Deshaun Stribling from Oklahoma State, who had like 800 yards last year. You bring in Harrison Wallace, who helped Penn State make a deep playoff run. You bring in Luke Haas, the tight end from Arkansas. You have really good production from other places that you feel can probably step in pretty seamlessly at receiver and as pass catchers. I don't think that same comfort level is there in defensive backfield. And if they don't figure that out, that could be a problem.
On the defensive line, Ole Miss made the decision to go with the guys they've got. They recruited what four-star kids a couple of years ago. Those, William Echols and Cam Franklin, Xavier Harris has obviously been there for a while. Akilo Stone. Do you like that group? I mean, that's big shoes to fill with Nolan and Emmanuelin and Ivy and those guys. Can that group be close to what they were a season ago?
Again, like you said, it's a big ask to ask them to become All Americans and All SEC players, but I think that group's really talented. Again, like you brought in Cam Franklin a couple years ago, knowing that eventually he'd be ready for it. You don't bring in a five-star guy like that to sit on the bench. William Echols, Jeffrey Rush, Jamarius Brown, guys like that, I think they have faith in them, and the transfer portals, it's really nice when you're just trying to get a stopgap, or you just have like one or two things to take care of when you're one or two pieces away. I think that Ole Miss felt really good that this line group was going to develop the way it did, and is someone going to be Walter Nolan or JJ Big East right now? I don't know, but there is another Umanmi Allen. They got his brother Prince Will from Nebraska, so there's some comfort there.
Like he's a Skywalker, so there's another. Yeah.
I'm so glad that my computer doesn't try to correct me when I write that word anymore.
Yeah.
It just gave up. It's
Yeah.
like, all right, man, we're gonna put red under it, but we're not gonna
I had to do a couple years with Caleb ducking, so you don't
autocorrect.
talk about autocorrect on that one. Other than Caleb Cunningham, who's a freshman to watch for Ole Miss?
Ooh, I mean, he's not here yet, but I think Shekhai Mills-Knight has a chance to play early, and I say that because I would probably feel better about that if he was enrolled early, because that's what Quinshon did. Quinshon came in the spring, and again, we know what he did that freshman year. I think that probably helped give him a leg up. But I think Mills Knight is a guy who is going to play a part. He's a big, strong back that I don't think they have like that type of guy otherwise. And as we saw last year, Ole Miss struggled in short situations. JJ Pegues was their best running back on short distances, and it worked a lot of the time. But you know, against Florida, it didn't. You need running backs who can get those tough yards, and it feels like he might be one of those guys. I think he's a guy to keep an eye on. Obviously, you know, we'll see how fast he picks things up, but just with the running back room, it feels like there is a chance for him to play a pretty big role.
Is I mean, he's I know he's not there yet either, but Caleb Cunningham, are there enough? I mean, there's a lot of competition in that receiver room. What's his role in year one?
That's one. That's tough because you know, you keep bringing in these transfers who are sort of ready made. You don't bring them in to sit. You don't bring in guys who have had 400, 500 yards last year to sit on the bench. But I always feel like it's sort of been the long play with Cunningham. Like if he contributes this year, of course you'll take that. But I think this has always been about like what can he do the next year when this transfers are gone. You know, and you know, maybe he develops like you know, like Caden Lee did. Caden Lee had 200 yards or so as a freshman, and you know, he really kind of caught steam late in the year. He had 900 yards ish last year as a true sophomore, and really, you know, was huge for them. So I think like that development plan would be big. You know, of course you want your five-star freshman to see the field early, but I think there's something to be said for like when you don't have to force them to be out there. And again, like Cunningham isn't here yet. You don't need to throw him out there early. You have time to let him learn how college football works.
Last question is the same one I'm asking everybody else. When we get to the Egg Bowl, last day of the season, what are we talking about with this Ole Miss team? What do we think they will be?
Before or after the Egg Bowl?
Well, we'll definitely say after.
Okay.
Hold on.
No, 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 no.
Are you saying there's a chance? What are you
No, no,
saying?
no, no, no,
Okay.
no, no. I was just trying to say how many wins.
Okay, yeah.
I think 8-4, 9-3 is pretty fair for this group. If things go absolutely right, I think 10-2 could happen. You know, I think by SEC standards, the schedule's favorable. You get Florida at home this time, you get South Carolina at home, and those are gearing up to be two of the really big games. You get LSU at home. You don't get Bama or Auburn. So I think that, you know, again, it's still going to be tough. You're going to have tough road games. I think Oklahoma is going to be rough on the road this year with the investment they've made offensively in terms of
I just
upgrading.
talked to Eddie Radosovich, so yeah, I got
Yeah,
that on the brain.
I'm a huge Mateer fan.
He's really
He's
good.
rest in peace to the Pac-12, but that dude was awesome. I think that the schedule's favorable enough that if Simmons can get things going early, I think they've got a chance. I don't see anything like, I mean, famous last words. This doesn't strike me as like a 6-6 team or
Right.
anything like
The
that.
schedule
I
doesn't allow for that almost.
yeah, ex exactly. So I think 8 or 9 is probably the would be my best guess right now. Maybe they overperform, but I think that sounds right now.
We shall see. Obviously, with Ole Miss, we'll be keeping a close eye on them here on Sports Talk Mississippi. Michael Katz, the Daily Journal, Dodger fan. He's okay, I guess. Thanks, man. Appreciate your time.
Appreciate you, man.
I asked him about this. I'll give you the same thing. We only got to see really one drive of Austin Simmons. Obviously, he played garbage time against their non-conference opponents, right? We saw one drive. He was so good in that drive. Have we ever had a quarterback who just like whet the appetite like that? You were like, man, I can't wait to see what he does when he's the full-time guy. Just off of one drive.
I
I
can't
couldn't think of
remember,
anyone.
but that it was literally like that drive. It was like some people were saying, let's just go ahead and bench Jackson Dart for this guy.
Yes. Well, I mean, this is what I remember of that. You know, watching the game, Dart throws a pick and he gets hurt. and Georgia scores, and I see Simmons coming out, and I'm like, this is really bad. Like, this reeks of incomplete sack, punt. It's 10-0, and this game is on the way to being over. And all he did was, against Georgia, in the most pressure-packed situation imaginable, drove them down the field like it was absolutely nothing, to the point where, you're correct, I thought out loud, I was like, do they just stick with him? Like, what do you do here? And they brought Dar back in, and it worked out for them. But, man, he's a talented player. They got a lot of new faces around him. Defensively, they'll still be good because Golding's a good defensive coordinator. But I'm interested to see if the experiment of we're going to stick with these 4 and 5 star kids we signed 2 years ago, we're not going to go too deep into the portal for defensive linemen, is going to work out.
Yeah.
Mean, they're going to rely on Cam Franklin and William Echols and Jeff Rush and those kids, and they haven't proven anything yet. So
Yeah, and that's a lot to replace up front when you
a
lose.
ton.
Walter Nolan was probably one of the best in the country at interior defensive line at, creating pressure. And that was a team last year that didn't really blitz. Like, it was just getting pressure with Princely and Walter
Jared
Nolan,
Ivy, and
Jared Ivey, and Suntarian Perkins. They just got pressure with like four guys, and those guys, I mean, outside of Perkins, those guys are gone now. How do they react to it? Can they get you a good portion of what you got last year, or is that going to be cut in half? I mean, this was the best, probably one of the best teams in the country in getting pressure. So I'm very interested. They lost a ton on defense.
You
They
didn't
lost.
mention, from the other side of that equation, they lost what all I think they lost all four starters from the secondary. Trey Omos gone, and what was the other kid's name? John Saunders is gone, and I mean, they just lost all those guys. Perkins is interesting to me, because we talk about another Perkins all the time. We talk about Harold Perkins at LSU, and when it explodes, I think Suntarian Perkins has been a more consistent player. I think he's one of the top defensive players in the conference.
I think they've also LSU has had Harold Perkins out of position.
Oh, for sure.
Like, they haven't been playing him where he should be. But looking at Ole Miss, I think that they're not going to be as talented this year or as experienced. But I think that a lot of people are kind of sleeping on them a little bit based on what they lost. They still should have a really good season because their schedule's not good.
Their schedule is not that good, and at this point, we have to give Kiffin credit, right? We have to say, these guys won 39 games in 4 years. They're not going to be a 5-7 team, as much as Mississippi State fans would love to see it. That's probably not going to happen when you combine Kiffin's coaching ability, the talent they do have, and their schedule. It's just a schedule that's built. It's a situation where if they lose more than four games, if they're 7-5, that's a huge disappointment, in my opinion.
Yeah, it would be. I think they will take a step back as far as like their production and stuff. They're not going to be as talented as they were last year, but I'm interested to see what that step back is. I mean, they could step back and still win 8 or 9. I think just because this, like I said, the schedule is just not great. They'll have Florida at home. They'll play Kentucky, who I think is not going to be very good, but Kentucky did win that game last year. LSU at home, very winnable game, I think, with it being at home. Their non-conference is not, setting the world on fire. Tulane's probably your toughest game in there. Washington State lost their coach and their
And their quarterback.
quarterback. Georgia, Oklahoma, and South Carolina in 3 straight weeks is going to be a big telltale sign for this team.
Very much so.
Oklahoma should be better. That's at Oklahoma. You're playing at Georgia.
And
South Carolina.
they're going to want blood after what
Oh yeah.
happened.
But it's just not a super difficult schedule. I mean, first four games they should win. So we'll see.
We'll see. All right. We'll do we've already got Oklahoma, and I've already got that interview in the tank, so we'll have it for next week. We'll also catch up with South Carolina and the Texas Longhorns. next week as we, I'm sorry, no, Tennessee Volunteers next week as we continue and try to wrap up our spring previews. Guys, have a great weekend. Enjoy it. And we will talk to you again on Sunday evening, Monday morning. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.